Have you ever looked at your morning coffee and seen a miracle? A.J. Jacobs did, and it transformed his life. A self-described Larry David type, naturally inclined toward annoyance, Jacobs embarked on an extraordinary mission: to personally thank every single person involved in producing his daily cup of coffee. This deceptively simple project took him across continents, social hierarchies, and time zones, revealing the invisible web connecting us all through even the most ordinary objects. What began as a quirky experiment evolved into a profound life philosophy, demonstrating how gratitude isn't just a pleasant emotion, but a more accurate way of seeing reality. Recognizing our profound interdependence and the countless invisible contributions that make modern life possible. The gratitude journey begins at Joe Coffee in New York, where Jacobs meets Chung, a Korean-American barista who remains positive despite dealing with customers in their pre-caffeinated state, snarling orders while staring at phones. Her words hit home as Jacobs realizes he's often treated service workers like vending machines. Next is Ed Kaufman, head coffee buyer, who introduces Jacobs to professional coffee tasting. Ed slurps samples loudly to aerate them across his taste buds, describing flavors with remarkable specificity: graham crackers, mandarin orange, pink lady apples. As a bass player in a band, Ed sees himself as necessary but background, a fitting metaphor for the overlooked contributors behind everyday items. This first step reveals responsibility bias, where we overemphasize individual achievement and undervalue collaboration. By starting with the most visible links in the coffee chain, Jacobs begins to understand how much we take for granted, from the barista crafting our drinks to the buyers sourcing the perfect beans. That simple coffee cup? It's actually a canvas of engineering masterpieces. The Viora lid is the Tesla of the lid world, with its geodesic dome and crescent-shaped sipping hole. Created by Doug Fleming, a coffee-obsessed Seattle attorney, it solves two key problems: preserving aroma and preventing splashing. The sleek blue Joe Coffee logo comes from Mark Johnson, a former guitarist who meticulously selected an Art Deco typeface with slightly rounded corners and cleverly hit a bird's-eye view of a coffee cup in the letter O. Even the humble coffee sleeve, technically a zarf dating back to ancient Turkish nobles, has a remarkable story. Reinvented in 1992 as the Java Jacket by Jay and Colleen Sorensen after Jay suffered a coffee burn, this kitchen table invention now sits in the Museum of Modern Art's Humble Masterpieces exhibit alongside aspirin and Lego bricks. At Joe Coffee's Brooklyn Roastery, massive stainless steel drums roast beans at precisely controlled temperatures up to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. During the 12-minute roasting cycle, sophisticated computer systems display real-time temperature curves resembling stock market data. The roasting team shows surprising physicality, maneuvering 152-pound burlap bags with practiced efficiency, each developing their own technique through years of experience. Post-roasting, the team uses oversized steel scoopers to fill 5-pound bags in a choreographed dance of precision. Coffee is 98.8% water, prompting Jacobs to explore New York City's Catskill Mountains reservoirs, an engineering marvel of 19 interconnected waterways covering twice Rhode Island's area. This network undergoes 2.2 million tests annually for purity. The gravity-fed system, dating to the early 1800s, still serves millions daily, showcasing multi-generational human ingenuity. Modern coffee safety contrasts sharply with its past. Victorian London coffee contained brick dust, ground acorns, and sawdust. Arthur Hill Hassell's microscopy work exposing these impurities led to landmark food safety legislation that influenced modern global standards. Jacobs Coffee travels 2,500 miles over 9 months via various transportation before reaching his cup. At Continental Terminal's warehouse, towers of burlap coffee sacks stretch across 4 football fields, enough for 3 billion cups. The warehouse manager contends with moths controlled by pheromones that turn them homosexual, improper stacking, and demanding buyers. Pallets, wooden platforms roughly foosball table-sized, emerge as global commerce heroes, with billions circulating worldwide carrying 80% of U.S. commerce. To thank workers producing raw materials essential for coffee, from oil for transportation to wood for cups and copper for wiring, Jacobs visits ArcelorMittal's massive Indiana steel mill. The sensory experience overwhelms him, sparks showering, water gushing, and glowing orange steel soup heated beyond 4,000 degrees. He thanks workers like Shannon Duncan, a former dental assistant turned crane operator who maneuvers three control boxes to lift 60,000-pound coils in conditions ranging from freezing to scorching hot. Despite safety improvements, injuries down 94% over 30 years, dangers persist, including carbon monoxide poisoning that feels like the worst hangover. These steelworkers take pride in their work, looking for their company's label on structures, appreciating the camaraderie, and valuing the stable income that funded homes and education. Their stories reveal how even basic materials require complex processes and dedicated workers, millions of people we'll never meet who have committed their lives to making ours better, safer, and more comfortable. 5 months and roughly 700 thank yous into his journey, Jacobs visits Colombia to meet the coffee farmers. At the Guarnizo farm, six brothers in jeans and soccer jerseys show him coffee trees laden with red and yellow cherries. Standing there, Jacobs crystallizes his belief that life is 80% cosmic Powerball and 20% hard work. He reflects on his privileged birth in the developed world to parents who could afford college, and how random breaks shaped his career. While effort matters, especially for those without his advantages, luck's role is undeniable. Recognizing luck fosters self-forgiveness, humility, and compassion. Research shows people who credit external factors donate 25% more to charity than those focused on personal qualities. After lunch, Jacobs reads a gratitude letter in stumbling Spanish, thanking the farmers for the coffee that energizes his writing and parenting. After a brief silence, Wilmar gives a slight nod and replies, "Gracias a usted." Back in New York, Jacobs continues thanking everyone in his coffee chain, bringing his total to approximately 1,000 people. He now envisions the world as interconnected through gratitude trails that would link almost everyone if mapped. Like Italo Calvino's Invisible Cities with its colored relationship threads, our world would be covered by gratitude connections if visualized. This project has permanently transformed Jacob's perception. Every object now appears as a miracle of collaboration. A pencil becomes the culmination of thousands of people's efforts, from graphite miners to designers who created its roll-resistant hexagonal shape. What began as a quirky experiment evolved into a profound life philosophy. Gratitude isn't just about feeling good, it's about seeing reality more accurately. It's recognizing that none of us is self-made. We all depend on countless others for our daily existence. The next time you sip coffee, remember, you're holding a miracle of human cooperation, a testament to thousands whose combined efforts made that simple pleasure possible. Gratitude isn't just a virtue, but a revolutionary way of seeing the world as it truly is.